Ecclesiastes 7. And let's begin in verse 20. Again, very, very practical message, helpful, and probably very convicting. I know it is to my own heart. If you have Facebook, then I want you to listen very carefully. This is my Facebook sermon tonight. I'm not saying you should get rid of it, but I think you should keep it in light of what the Scripture says tonight, okay? Now I've got your attention. Look at verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that as we're reminded of these very practical but powerful truths, we will recognize that in our homes, at work, in our church, throughout our very lives, these principles, these biblical truths would help us immensely. May we hear and heed them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, once you look again, verse 21, King Solomon is mentioning a subject that is surprisingly one of the major themes of New Testament Christianity in the epistles. We're going to look at those New Testament verses later, but first of all, here's what it says in verse 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. In other words, the counsel here, the wisdom, is really very simple. You'll notice the verse begins with the word also, right? Well, there's a reason for that. It's connected to the verse before it, a familiar verse that says this, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All right, so since nobody's perfect and since imperfect people say foolish and hurtful things, it goes into the word also, verse 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Well, what's he saying, Pastor? He's saying that a man should never try to hear, should never make an effort to hearken to everything that's being said about himself or about others. Why? Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. In other words, because people are unjust and sinners and fallen creatures, we say foolish and hurtful, spiteful things. Servants certainly do, that is, employees about their own bosses, as do students about their teachers and brothers about their sisters and wives about their husbands and children about their parents and church members about their pastors. Amen? Wow. Got an amen out of that one. I don't want to know, Brother Wooster, what you heard today, okay? I just trust you that you heard something from your wife, I'm sure. But it's true, everybody says, as fallen sinners, things about other people that they never intend for those other people to hear. That's exactly why we have verse 22. Look at it. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth. I love that little phrase. You know this is true, the Holy Spirit is saying. That thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. So Solomon says, look, you've said things oftentimes that are hurtful and derogatory toward other people. That's just what sinners do in their flesh, in their nature, pride, gossip, vindictiveness. Everybody struggles with these sins of the flesh. Every beast of the field is tamed, James said. Every beast, but the tongue no man can tame. So what the Scripture is counseling here is that it is very unwise for anybody to give ear to those kinds of words. To use a more modern idiom, ignorance is what? Bliss. Or for me, fat, dumb, and happy. That's the one I like to use. And so because all sinners say foolish and hurtful things, one of the very worst things you can do as a redeemed child of God is be a meddler, an eavesdropper, a person who actually wants to hear and thus repeat what should never have been said in the first place. You see, meddling is like taking a hot coal that would have and should have died out on its own, but then stoking it and adding fuel to it. Turn back a few pages to Proverbs chapter 30, would you? And I want you to look at all of these scriptures with me and maybe even write them down or circle them. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 10 is really the perfect cross-reference to tonight's text. He says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Now, Pastor, what's that text saying? It's saying, beloved, mind your own business. Yes, servants say things about their masters that they should never say, of course. But it's foolish for you to inject your ears and then your mouth into other people's business. Why? Because for one thing, it'll ultimately hurt you, for example. We know from that Ecclesiastes text that if you try to hear other people's words, eventually you will hear words that are spoken about you. Maybe even words from your own servants, meaning people who are close to you. And you know, that in itself is extremely hurtful. Nobody is strong enough to handle what others really say about them. In fact, I can tell you right now, I don't want to know what people say about me. I know there are some good things that people say about me. I don't really need to hear all that either, but I don't want to know. If I could bug your cars and your living rooms, even though I know we love each other, I still wouldn't want to hear all the conversations and things that are said. You know why? Because my heart couldn't take it. Your heart couldn't take it. Which, of course, is why suspicious people, people who always stand by the door and the window and listen, people who read other people's mail, who want to know everything that others are saying, honestly, those people don't live very long. Or if they do, they live every day with terrible anxiety and health problems. And in that way, meddling is self-destructive. However, it is also self-destructive for yet another reason, because if you're listening and hearing what other people are always saying, then, as the Bible says, if you accuse a servant unto his master, chances are that one of these days the tables are going to be turned, so that it may well be that 5 or 10 years into the future, that servant you accused will be your master. Now he's the manager, he's the boss, he's the owner, he's the leader, and now you have an enemy, you have an adversary, and a whole set of problems that you would have never otherwise had in your life. And of course, for people who routinely mind other people's business, they don't just accuse one servant to his master, they accuse one a week. It's sort of like their hobby. They love to do this. This week, they meddle into the mother-in-law's business. The next week, they insert themselves into the neighbor's business. The next week, they accuse a friend of a friend, so that by the time they're 30 years of age, they've got people all over creation who are just waiting to clip coupons against them. By the time they're 40, they've alienated about everybody that could have been a blessing in their life. And by the time they're 54, the age of perfection, then they wonder why, quote, everybody has it out for them. This is the life of a meddler. This is the path of a man or a woman who doesn't mind their own business. You see, here's what the flesh forgets when it accuses another man's a servant to his master. It forgets that he's always able to be accused. This is what we read a moment ago, accused as well. In other words, unless the accuser and unless the meddler is perfect. Anybody perfect in here? Unless that person is a flawless, sinless, willing to let the entire world know all of their affairs, then mark it down, someday the meddler will be accused as well, except that the motive won't just be meddling, it'll be payback, revenge, which is a dish, they say, best served cold. What goes around comes around. So that, know this carefully, all that a meddler really does by not minding his own business is make down payments on future battles and problems he should never have otherwise had. And by the way, here's what the typical meddler says. I've been pastoring here for 25 years, been counseling for 30 or so. I've heard it over and over again. Here's what the typical meddler says. I am minding my business. I just don't like to see another man's servant taking advantage of his master. I just feel like I have to speak up. I just can't ignore it when I see someone who's wrong. Really? Do you know that there's a very harsh Bible word for people who use that rationale in order to meddle into other people's business? Look at chapter 20. Would you back up a few pages? Let's let the Bible do the speaking. Proverbs 20 and verse 3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife." You know, you find a man that's willing to stop a fight, cease from fighting, not get involved, That's the honor. That's bravery. But every fool will be meddling. Turn ahead to chapter 26 of Proverbs, would you? Proverbs 26. Look at verse 17. This is one of my favorite verses. I preached a whole sermon just on this verse once. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. There's a visual for you. Amen. You see, what happens when you grab a dog by its ears is that both of your hands are now busy. And this very angry dog is looking right in your nose, right at your face, so that he just might snap off your nose. And if you let go of his ears, he might do something even worse. And of course, the question is, why would you do that? Why would you deliberately put your face at risk when you didn't have to? It says when you pass by and you see some people striving over here and you're meddling in that. By the same token, why would you pass by and meddle with strife if that strife simply did not belong to you? You see, verse 17 is God's way of saying, pick your fights. Don't get involved in other people's battles. There was a young fellow in Michigan many years ago when I lived there. He was the absolute biblical definition of a meddler. He was always constantly prying into other people's business. It was uncanny how he would hear things. He knew everything. He knew stuff nobody knew, but he knew everything about everybody. I don't know how he did it, but he had a way of getting there, and one day he placed himself right in the middle of somebody else's strife, and by doing so, all he did was throw gasoline on a fire and consequently on himself. And so the problem became so large we had to deal with it in a deacon's meeting, and when one of those wise old deacons said, Tom, why can't you mind your own business? Tom said, I can't look the other way. He owed so-and-so some money. And when a church member is being wronged, it's not the Christian thing to do to look the other way. I was a young assistant pastor, but I raised my hand and I asked if I could comment on that statement, and they agreed, and I turned to Luke chapter 12, and I read the story of these two brothers who were in a family financial dispute, and one brother came to Jesus and said, Master, would you help settle this financial dispute for us? And do you remember what Jesus said? Now, this is God, omniscient Christ. Jesus said, man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? I read that text and I said, Tom, was that the Christian thing for Jesus to do? You see, Jesus went about doing his Father's business. Now look, yes, of course, there are some issues that you should rightly involve yourself in. The Lord Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers, but I'll remind you again, that was his Father's house. Our Lord didn't go out and clean Pilate's house. He didn't go throw the thieves out of Rome's temple. Proverbs 3:30 says, strive not with a man without cause if he has done thee no harm. Our country could use that text, by the way. In other words, if something is not in your circle of influence, why would you get involved with it? Why open yourself up to another burden that now your husband and your children or your wife, your entire family has to deal with? Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter not into contention, which simply means a fool opens his mouth and he puts his nose where it ought not to be. And by so doing, he adds to the griefs. He adds to the daily problems of life that are supposed to be on his plate. Meddling injures the meddler. It's grabbing a dog by the ears. Second observation, you'll note, is that number two, meddling increases the misery. In other words, it makes things worse for everybody. Proverbs chapter 17, would you look at it? Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to look at some New Testament verses in a moment, but look at verse 14. It says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. In other words, look, just like when water breaches a dam or a riverbank, so too is strife and contention. That's being meddled with. That simply means this. What begins as a little trickle eventually increases and grows into a torrent. That's what happens, beloved. Meddling always increases the misery. And the reasons for that are obvious. I mentioned Proverbs 18:6. Look across the page. It says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." You know what that means? His words. Since he's decided to enter into the contention, his words proceed to blows that otherwise would not have been. Spurgeon once said that when two people are over here quarreling about this or that, he said it's like a big fish out of water. Leave it alone, and that little quarrel over there will flip and flop and flip and ultimately flop itself to death. His counsel was, leave it alone. But then he said, if you intermeddle, if you meddle with those people quarreling, it gives that big fish a supply of air and thus a longer life to do more damage. I saw two people in a quarrel some time ago in our church. I could hear them. I love them both. They both love me. And they were at odds. And you know what I did? Nothing. Neither one of them came to me about it. So I did nothing. Now, do you want to know tonight what they were fighting about? Do you want to know? It's none of your business. You do want to know, but it's none of your business. You get my point. In fact, whatever it is, my counsel to so many people is leave it alone. 99 out of 100 times it'll die a natural death. It'll wither on the vine. Starve it with neglect. You see, here's how God's economy works. If there's a dispute between two people, do you know there's already in place biblically those outside people for whom it is their business to deal with it? It's right there in the Bible in Matthew. In most cases, it would be family, perhaps their parents, and maybe their pastor or a church elder. In other words, if you are in a biblical role of authority over someone, as the Bible describes, then you know what? It might be your business to get involved. Otherwise, you're just a busybody. Otherwise, you're what the Bible describes as a meddler, and all you will do is increase the misery. Put it this way. If you really want to get involved in other people's lives and business, then do so. But be like the Good Samaritan and get involved in someone who's down in a ditch and help them up. Fix his wounds, pay for his food and his hotel, don't tell anybody about it, and then go your way. You see, you'll notice that the Good Samaritan didn't ask the publican the description of those who passed by. He didn't get on Google and do a search for those who didn't help. He didn't write nasty words on his blog about those Pharisees and Sadducees and what they didn't do. He just helped. And that's not meddling. You know, back in the old days, very wise people would say to their spouses and their children, this is family business. Nobody's business what happens within these walls. My dad said that all the time. My dad, as Andy and Rick will tell you, Grandpa, was the exact opposite of a meddler. He didn't care. He didn't want to know unless it was his business. And he used to tell us all the time, hey, this is family business. It's nobody else's business. You know, that was very wise because there are meddlers outside the walls of your home, and all they will do by their intermeddling is add fuel to any fire that you already have. In fact, I don't think I've ever counseled, for example, a divorce situation where there were not meddlers who helped to ruin the relationship, who helped to poison the waters, poison the well. These TV reality shows, which is really primetime voyeurism, you know the reason why they're so popular, fun to watch? They appeal to the busybody in all of us. They appeal to the meddler in all of us. I'm not talking about all of them, but there are certain ones, the MTV, the real, those things. People want to know. They want to see people fight. Personal, private, the Kardashians, Steve Hatcher's favorite show, I think it is. I'm not sure. You want to see their family fights and arguments? You want to see what's going behind? The whole nation gets to meddle in what's basically none of our business. But again, folks, the carnal man loves this stuff, not realizing that A, the meddler is injuring himself. Take no heed unto all the words that are spoken. Accuse not a servant unto his master. You're just opening the door to unnecessary burdens. And B, for everyone else, you're just increasing the misery of it. You're adding fuel to a little fire, making it grow. But then number three, finally, I want you to notice the meddler is inviting malice. I want you to see an amazing New Testament text. Turn to 1 Peter 4, would you please? 1 Peter, if you're not there already. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we're talking New Testament discipleship, the epistles written to God's people today, as is all of the Bible. Look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Whoa. He's writing to a church. And he's writing to people, Christians. And he says, look, none of you needs to kill anybody. Okay, I'm going to say that to you tonight. Beloved, members of Being Baptist, don't kill people. Okay? That's a bar we can reach, right? Or as a thief. Man, that's a tough list. Or as an evildoer. That's a strong word in the Greek. Or as a, whoa, wait a minute, busybody in other men's matters. How in the world is that on the same list? Murderer, thief. Do you know busybody in other men's matters is one word in the Greek? It's basically being a meddler. And it's on the same list. So we're not talking tonight about a little minor vice, are we? We're talking about malice. We're talking about a spiritual issue that is as dark as any other in life because of the damage that it does. It damages like murder and thievery damages. Busybody invites malice. We're in the New Testament. Let's look at another New Testament text. Back up, would you, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul is writing to Timothy, and of course, Timothy as a young man and a young pastor at Ephesus later would need this instruction for God's people. 1 Timothy 5, verse 12. Having damnation or condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, because they did that, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. You know, that's a New Testament verse. Talking about when people are departing from the faith, this is what they do. They get idle. They have too much time in their hands. And they go from one house to the next. They go over here. They go to the restaurant booth. And there are busybodies, and they speak things that they ought not. Turn back again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and notice what it says. This is a great text, by the way. Notice what it says in verse 11. And that ye study, that means effort, you try, you work, to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, folks, you have enough on your own plate for you to be minding other people's business. So that anybody who's minding somebody else's business, they are by default neglecting their own business. There's a very powerful scene in John chapter 21. Everybody knows it. You've heard it. I've preached on it many times. In John 21 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus is talking to Peter. He's about to leave the earth permanently, physically. And he's talking to Peter and he says, verily, Peter, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and so on. But when you're old, someone else is going to lead you by the hands. He's giving a prophecy to Peter about what's going to happen to him. He said, they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. And in verse 19, he says, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. He was telling Peter that he's going to be martyred for the faith. Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. And then Peter, turning about, Peter just heard that prophecy. Turning about, meaning turning around, he points to John. And pointing at the Apostle John, he says, "What shall this man do?" What about him, Lord? Now, if that's what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to John? And the Lord Jesus said, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will," if it's my will, it's not, but "if I will, that he tarry till I come again," that he lives to be 2,012 years old. "If I will till he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Then he said, "Follow thou," that's a strong word, "you follow me." What is it to you what my will for his life is in the future? He basically told Peter, "Mind your own business." You know why? Because Peter had enough in his future to concern himself with to start worrying about John's business. And you know, if you look at human nature on display, again, the Lord told Peter he was going to be martyred, crucified, no less, and yet Peter turned around and concerned himself with another apostle. I can sympathize with that. I can empathize with that. Because we all succumb to the carnal nature, accusing a servant to his master, but it's still foolish. It's still sinful. And it's still damaging. All that the busybody does is make his life more problematic than it really needed to be. And conversely, what the non-busybody does is make his life more productive and smoother than it otherwise would have been. I'll say again, beloved, this is just as true, it's just as inspired scripture as John 3:16 or Psalm 26. Because this is God trying to help us and to help us with truth. To walk in that path, I mentioned this morning that he takes you by the hand and gives you direction. This is part of that direction. God is saying, "Let me help you. Let me help you," because God knows better than we do how much we can handle, how much we want to put on our plate as opposed to how much he's given us grace for. "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You have enough on your plate without stepping out of bounds and putting more on there than God ever wanted you to have. So let us please leave here tonight being hearers and doers of his word. I mentioned Facebook at the beginning. That's one simple way to put it in action. If you have Facebook, only use it in a way where it is not meddler central. I don't have Facebook. I'm a Facebook stalker, they call me, because I'll go on Andy sometime and look at pictures and read stuff. And a lot of what I see and read is nothing more than people meddling in other people's business. That's just one place, one spot, one example. But take these scriptures, all of them, the truths in the Bible, and literally apply them in your life and watch God work in a powerful way. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful tonight for your word and how it convicts us, enlightens us, illuminates our minds and our hearts. And we are thankful tonight that the wisdom of this book, as you've taken our hand and you lifted us and you delivered us and you saved us, and then you took our hand to draw us near to you, you also take our hand to direct us. May we be directed by these practical, powerful truths. And in so doing, Father, be a greater testimony of your grace. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.